Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Tomorrow's show, you'll want to hear it. Bob Enyart Live will celebrate National Atheist Day tomorrow, so tune in. Today's topic, it is a sin for Christians to oppose the death penalty. It is a sin. God says that you profane him, you profane God when you advocate keeping people alive who should not live. Today we'll take your calls if they're about the Christian perspective on the death penalty, crime, law, forgiveness, and government. And feel free to comment on my debate yesterday with the Libertarian Party's presidential candidate, Gary Nolan. You can get, if you missed it, you'll want to hear that. It's online at KGov, KGOV.com. Our phone number, 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Also, we want to congratulate England and the Philippines for their work this week on anti-terrorism efforts. England prevented an attack there, arresting 8 terrorists and confiscating 1,000 pounds of explosives, enough for a major attack. And in the Philippines, the government has foiled a Madrid-type attack in Metro Manila with the arrest of 4 terrorist members of Abu Sayyaf and the seizure of explosives there. Okay. Hey, you know, Christians and the death penalty, here at Bob Enyart Live, it's easy to decide who should live and who should die. That's easy. If you go to a restaurant, you go to a good restaurant, maybe La Loma's, and a Mexican restaurant in Denver, and you got this menu and there's 60 items on the menu, how do you decide? Now, that's tough. That's tough. But when young people see our T-shirts with KGov.com, KGOV.com, or ShadowGov.com, they especially like the ShadowGov T-shirts. ShadowGov.com, Judge Rightly is not some guy's name. And they'll say, you know, a teenager, you talk to teenagers these days? Talking to them, he's y'all, like, she goes, dude, like, what? They say, hey, man, what's that website for? And so we say, well, you know how some websites, they tell you how to get the best airfare, find a hotel room. This website tells you who should live and who should die. And they usually say, wow, heavy man. Whoa, that's cool. So who should live and who should die? KGov.com. And you know who should die? If it turns out that the young student from the University of Wisconsin who was apparently abducted 4 days ago from her apartment, and they found her alive today in a marshy area in Madison, Wisconsin. And she gave them a report of a man who abducted her, a white man with a gun. If that turns out to be true, then the police there are looking for this abductor. And if true, he should be put to death. He should be dead. And he should be put to death. After convicted, there should be a swift trial. And after conviction, there should be a swift and painful death penalty. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. First, we'll go to Colorado first, then Indiana. In Loveland, Colorado, Michelle, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What's up?
I was just going to revisit that topic you had the other day on if a Christian gets murdered, whether they would be seeking vengeance or forgiveness?
Yeah, right, exactly. Because in the Bible, the Christians who are in heaven who were murdered, they are asking God to bring vengeance against the people who killed them. So
yeah.
The reality of the true Christian understanding of vengeance is not that it's a bad thing and that you're supposed to forgive people who don't repent, but quite the opposite. You should want God to bring vengeance upon the wicked. Of course, if they'll repent, great. But if not, Lord, get them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be a detention officer and worked in a detention center.
A detention center? You mean for high school kids?
Oh, yeah, well, practically.
What, you mean it? You mean a jail?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, they're called detention centers.
All right. Oh, we don't call them jails anymore. No, it's too demeaning.
Too terrible.
you don't want to hurt the self-respect, the egos of the criminals.
Exactly. Anyway, well, they would bring in Christian speakers, and then all the inmates would go and listen to the speakers. Well, one day, almost my entire pod is what it's called, went to go see a Christian speaker. Mm. And when they returned, my corporal brought the inmates back, and he was along with another deputy that was on my platoon. And they were saying, oh, that guest speaker was just awesome, and what an inspiration. And I went up to him and asked him, well, what was it about? Well, it was about the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh.
And this guy's relatives, I can't remember, I think it might have been like a wife and kids, were killed in the explosion.
Oh, what a tragedy.
And I said, what do you have to say? And they said, well, it was great. He said he forgave them, the two guys that did it, he's just moving on, and how wonderful it is. And I said, what do you mean he forgave them? And they both looked at me. And I said, well, I don't remember those guys repenting of what they did.
Yeah, Timothy McVeigh is in hell right now. And God hasn't forgiven him. So if God hasn't found the grounds to forgive Timothy McVeigh, what grounds could a mere human being, a Christian, find? Are we wiser than God, more compassionate than God, smarter than God, more righteous than God? What, more loving than God? I guess we're, Michelle, guess we're nicer than God.
We must be.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what I asked him. I said, no. You know, I told them, I said, why would you forgive somebody if they didn't repent? And they said, because the Bible teaches us to.
Oh, no.
And if you don't do it, that hatred will just eat you up.
Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but that's psychobabble. Mm-hmm. Psychobabble tells people that if you don't forgive, it'll eat you up. But
right.
I don't remember the prophets in Israel saying, we're going to forgive all the wicked in the land because otherwise it will eat us up. Yeah, that's Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
It's not the Apostle Paul, it's Dr. Phil.
When I told him, you know, I brought up the fact, I said, well, if Jesus doesn't forgive those that repent, why should you? And he looked, my sergeant or corporal, I don't remember which it was at the time, looked at me and said, what church do you go to? And he was so angry at me for saying that.
Why? That Jesus, you said, if Jesus doesn't forgive those who do not repent, why should you?
Yeah.
And he got angry at that.
He got angry.
Why didn't he forgive you for saying that? Why do they only refuse to forgive those of us Christians who try to set people straight on this?
Mm-hmm.
That Christians shouldn't be wimps.
Right. Well, in fact, he later emailed me and told me that he didn't want to discuss Christianity with me anymore because he felt that it might get in the way of our working relationship.
So he was intolerant. If you were a spineless liberal Christian mm-hmm. who bases your life on cliches, there would have been no problem. But, hey, Michelle, let me read real quick. Then we're going to have to go to Indianapolis. But warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, Jesus said in Luke 17, and we know it's Jesus speaking because it's in red letters. Jesus said, he's talking about sin, if somebody offends you, if they sin against you. And he said, if someone sins against you, let me quote here, rebuke him. And notice he didn't say forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
He said rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him.
Yep.
And if he sins against you seven times and seven times says, I repent, you shall forgive him. Christians today have said when Jesus says, if he repents, you need to ignore that. Because Jesus was confused at that time. Jesus was confused. You have to forgive always under any circumstances.
Right.
Michelle, what message do we give to unbelievers when Christian leaders say you have to forgive everyone regardless of whether they repent? What message does that send out?
To me, it sends out the fact that no matter what evil that they do, it'll be forgiven. So
you're right, that God will forgive everyone regardless of whether they repent.
Yeah, so what's the purpose of hell?
Yeah, right. It's that message has done more to harm Christian evangelism than probably anything else Christians have done in the past 30 years. Because we have taught the wicked that repentance is unnecessary because Christianity teaches that forgiveness is automatic for everyone.
That's what all those inmates heard.
Yeah, that's what they heard. Tragedy, but Oklahoma City, but too bad Christians don't know how to make right out of a tragedy. Thank you, Michelle. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate the call. Now in Indianapolis, Indiana, Andy, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob. This is Andy.
Hi,
and,
Andy.
I'm calling in regards to the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
And I think we're in the wrong battle about talking with that when I don't think it's necessary for Christians to do the Pledge of Allegiance in the first place. And I think, hopefully I'm right on this, but I think this comes out of the Bob Inyart playbook.
Go ahead.
About the wise man picking A or B, and the wise man picks C.
Well, that's true. Jesus, you know, the last Jesus, hey, is it this or this? And he'll say, no, it's that over there.
Right.
But now the Jehovah's Witnesses refuse to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
And their grounds, I guess they say the Bible doesn't tell us we should announce our loyalty to our country. But I don't see any problem saying that I'm loyal to my family, my nation, my God. And that loyalty to my family is not absolute. If someone in my family becomes a criminal, then I'm not going to be an enabler or cover it up. So, but under general circumstances, I have a loyalty to my family, my nation, and my God.
Sure. What about and for the republic for which it stands?
Well, we could get picky here. I'm not a fan of republics.
Right. And that's almost my sole basis on the whole thing is
yeah, the Pledge of Allegiance is not inspired by God.
Sure, right.
Right. And so should kids in public schools pledge allegiance? Should they pray in public schools? No. They should only pray outside of public schools because there should be no kids in public
right.
schools. We Christians shouldn't try to get prayer in the schools.
Sure.
We should try to get the kids out because the schools are damning another generation of kids. And so we shouldn't be happy as long as we can fight to get prayer in the public schools, we'll be happy.
Right.
So, Andy, I think there's a good point there in that what is a godly form of government? And many Christians today think that democracy is bad, and I'm glad for that. And now I hope in another generation they'll see that a Republican form of government is also bad, because it's a kissing cousin to democracy.
Sure.
So, all right, Andy.
Okay.
Hey, what judge, you know, the judge in California who said it's unconstitutional to say under God in the pledge?
Okay.
Question. Was that judge appointed by a Republican or a Democratic president?
I would assume a Republican.
You got it right, Andy. Thank you for your call.
Thanks.
God bless you. Appreciate that. That's, by the way, of all the conservative Christian and conservative talk shows in the country, there's about 1,000 of them. Only on Bob Inyart Live will you learn that the judge who wrote the decision that the words under God are unconstitutional, that judge was appointed by a Republican president. All right, let's go to Denver, Colorado. And this is Deshaun?
Yes.
Hi, Deshaun.
Hi.
What's up?
I was listening to what you were saying about forgiving
yes.
people.
Yes, ma'am.
And so you're saying that you only forgive someone if they ask for your forgiveness, as a
basic rule. Jesus taught and the Bible teaches that when people sin against you, you should rebuke them,
right.
so that they can learn right from
right.
wrong. And then if they repent, you forgive them.
Right.
If they don't repent, like let's say a married couple and the man is having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Christian teaching today basically tells the wife she should take it, accept it, because she has to forgive her husband. And that's not true. If he doesn't repent, she should not forgive him because it will destroy him.
Okay. I'm not really getting this, and I'm a Christian.
Yeah. Well, let me read to you what Jesus said, and you probably just heard it, but let me read it again.
Oh, I've just read it before you even spoke about it, and I thought about that when it says if they came back, if they repent to you, I mean, if they ask for your forgiveness, then forgive them.
Yeah. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step.
Right.
And if he repents, forgive him.
Okay, what about the other verse that says that if you don't forgive your brother that you see,
right,
then God in heaven won't forgive you.
Yeah, we should, as Christians, we should be a forgiving people. But that doesn't mean there are no rules regarding the proper use of forgiveness.
So how do you God know when to forgive and when not to forgive?
Well, Jesus said, if he repents, forgive him. Now, let's say you're in a marriage and you think your spouse was mean to you and they won't forgive you. And they won't admit it. They won't say they're sorry. Mm-hmm. Does that mean for the next 40 years you should hold that against them? Well, the answer there is no, because just like the Mosaic covenant of law was built on a foundation of grace, so too our marriages and our friendships and families should be on a foundation of grace, so that, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. And so when there are these small grievances we have against one another as we go through life, we should be forgiving people, forgiving husbands and wives, parents and children. But when an offense rises to a level that this is truly a wrong that can't be overlooked, that needs to be addressed, you say to the guy selling drugs to kids in a playground, what you're doing is wrong.
Don't sit up underneath me while I'm talking. Okay,
Deshaun. You say to the guy selling drugs to the kid in the playground, what you're doing is wrong. You are condemned for what you're doing. And he said, well, God forgives me. No, God doesn't forgive you. You need to repent and turn toward Jesus Christ, and God will forgive you.
So you're saying that if a man kills your daughter and he doesn't have any remorse, then you don't have to forgive him?
You should not forgive him, because if you do, it will hurt him.
How? I don't understand that. How will it hurt him?
Because you're misleading him into thinking God forgives him. Because as Christians, we're representatives of Christ on earth. We're followers of Christ.
So wouldn't you be representing God if you showed your forgiveness?
No, because you're misleading him. God, let me ask you this. If a man kills an innocent person, he's a murderer, and he never repents, he never turns to Jesus Christ, he never asks God to forgive him, when he dies, is he going to heaven or hell?
Hell.
Right. So do you want to mislead him to think that forgiveness is automatic?
No, I don't want to forgive him, but I want to show my light as a Christian and that, well, I can forgive something that's so devastating.
Well, all liberals today in the world of psychobabble, when I say all, I mean the vast majority of godless, atheistic psychiatrists and psychologists, they say you have to forgive, regardless, automatically.
They do.
Yeah, that's what the whole atheistic, godless, liberal world says. We shouldn't execute murderers or rapists or kidnappers. We need to forgive. That's what they say. And pagans, they do that right away. They're pretty good at it, usually. And I think because it's not godly, it's psychobabble. And you're doing it for a selfish reason, because I don't want it to eat me up, instead of for a concern for the murderer, for the person whose soul is lost. And so we're teaching them that forgiveness is automatic. Repentance is superfluous. Repentance is unnecessary, because Christianity teaches you automatically get forgiven. And kids on a college campus, you know what they think? They think, well, if there is a God, he's a God of love and forgiveness, and everybody's going to heaven. That's what they think, because that's the message Christian leaders have been preaching for 30 years, that everyone gets forgiven automatically. Let me ask you a question, Deshaun.
Yeah.
If we went through the Bible and read about every prophet and every apostle and Jesus Christ, and we made a list of how they responded to the wicked around them, and we put a check mark in two columns. One, did they forgive them, or were they angry, and did they rebuke them and not forgive them?
Okay. Well, in the Old Testament, it was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Or something like,
yeah,
that. Where if you kill someone, then you should be killed.
Now, whose idea was that? That eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Whose idea was that?
You got me right there, but I know that it's
okay, let me tell you whose. It was God's idea. God said it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it was in his words, so, but I didn't know if there was exactly a,
yeah,
prophet.
Yeah, it was God, like in Exodus 21. God is speaking in the same quote he gave the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
He went on to say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, life for life.
Right.
So that's God's idea. Now, many Christians have been told that in the Old Testament was mean and the New Testament is nice. And so we need to not look at the Old Testament, but in between, there were 400 years in between, and God went to counseling, and he was psychoanalyzed, and God became nicer in the New Testament. That's what we've been told.
Well, didn't Jesus say if a man hits you, turn and let him hit the other cheek?
Sure. If he strikes you on your right cheek,
right.
In other words, it's an insult, we Christians should have an attitude of forgiveness. But Jesus affirmed the death penalty.
Where is that at?
Well, it's in a number of places, but we could look at, let me see here. Let me look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15, we did the FCC warning earlier. Jesus said, "Why do you disobey the commandment of God because of your traditions? For God commanded," and these were laws for Israel, "God commanded, he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, yada, yada, yada. You don't care about God's commands. You have a way of excusing what God commanded." Remember Jesus was on the cross, Deshaun, and the guys, the two murderers next to him were being killed.
Right.
And the one was mocking Christ and the other repented.
Right.
And the one who repented said to the one who was mocking Jesus, he said, you know, he rebuked him. He didn't say, oh, I forgive you and Jesus forgives you. He rebuked him. And he said, this man has done nothing wrong, but we are receiving the just punishment for our crimes. You see, even that man at the moment of meeting God, meeting the Messiah, the Savior, acknowledged his sin and acknowledged justice and said that the death penalty was the just punishment for their crime. And God was under no obligation to put his words in the Bible. You know, God didn't have to, whatever they say, I got to put it in the Bible. God inspired the gospel writers to put that in the Bible so we could learn from it. Jesus didn't say these men should not be executed. He could have. And let me quote
right,
to you.
That's true.
Let me quote to you what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 13. He said in Romans 13, he said that the governing official does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath.
Whoa.
That's heavy duty.
That's
vengeance, wrath, and he even talks about terrorizing the wicked there. He says that the governing official should be a terror to evil men.
Whoa.
They are God's minister.
So then that should tell everybody that George Bush did the right thing when he went over there.
Exactly. Yeah. But so many Christians are confused about forgiveness and mercy and love and compassion. And we want to tell the whole world that you don't have to repent. Automatically, everyone is forgiven by Christianity. You know, we have a Bible study album mm-hmm. called Nicer Than God. It's 9 hours of Bible teaching. In fact, one of the dads whose son was killed at Columbine is on the album with me. And we talk about this deception that the church is under, that we have to forgive everyone and that we can't judge. Jesus said, Jesus commanded us to judge with righteous judgment.
And what did he mean when he said that? Judge with righteous judgment.
Don't judge wrongly. He told us.
So
don't,
what would be wrong?
Well, if you judge someone for doing right, like let's say a Christian is on the air saying homosexuality is a perversion, it's a sin, it's wrong, we shouldn't accept it. Mm-hmm. And other Christians will call in and condemn that Christian show. Now, that's judging wrongly.
Oh, okay, I see.
Right? But to judge rightly is to say that abortion is the murder of innocent children, and we should oppose it and try to recriminalize it. And adultery is wrong, pornography is wrong. And terrorists need to not be forgiven, but we need to defeat terrorists as we would any other murderers.
Right.
So that is judging rightly, where Christians have been so weakened in our understanding of God and righteousness. You know, yeah. It was in the New Testament where God killed people for not giving enough money to church, not in the Old Testament. That was in the New Testament. That's in the book of Acts. So God didn't all of a sudden, you know, God didn't go for counseling between the Old and the New Testament. In fact, it's in the New Testament where we read it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it's in the Old Testament where we read to love your neighbor. That's in the Mosaic Law. Jesus was quoting the Mosaic Law, to love your neighbor. So God was not evil in the Old Testament and nicer in the New. That's why we have this album. We even have a pamphlet people can get when they call 800-8-N-YART or go to our website, kgov.com. But the pamphlet we have is called Nicer Than God. We have another pamphlet on judging, teaching Christians that we have to judge. I want to thank you, Deshaun.
Well, thank you for explaining that to me because I really, I mean, I've forgiven a lot of people for bad things and they never ask for forgiveness.
Right. And it's so healthy to say to other people, you have wronged me or you have wronged my friend, and if you repent, I will forgive you. And boy, does that feel good to say that to people. You want to talk about mental health? That really feels good. To say to someone, if you repent, I will forgive you. If you do not, I will not forgive you, and neither will God.
And God doesn't hold that against you when they've done you.
God approves of that. God is thrilled. The Apostle Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. He who is spiritual judges all things. And Paul said, do you not know that we will judge the angels? Do you remember that verse?
Yeah.
And he said, do you not know that we will judge the world? On Judgment Day, God delegates judgment to the hands of his saints, to the believers.
So a woman that's been molested by her dad all her life, and her dad dies, but she's still hurt and painful behind that, and she didn't forgive him, but she's a Christian, she won't be...
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. On Judgment Day, her dad will stand before her. And according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, she will judge him. Jesus also talked about us judging the wicked. And so does the book of Revelation. God commits judgment to the hands of his saints. So does the Old Testament.
That's deep.
It is deep. On Judgment Day, we are going to judge the wicked. And finally, you know, we thirst for justice. And we want to see that the guilty meet their just end. And God will not only allow us to see that, but he will have us participate and mete out the judgment.
Well, what's so amazing about that is that people, they think they get away with stuff.
Right, they'll never get away with it.
They think people die, so they got away with hurting me killing somebody.
In the Old Testament, it says that, you know, a man will judge, I'm paraphrasing, some neighbor seduced his neighbor's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says in the day of recompense, that husband will not be appeased. He's going to say on Judgment Day, you seduced my wife, and now I am your worst nightmare.
Whoa, that's scary.
It's scary, and it's motivating toward repentance,
right,
and to help people live with one another with love and righteousness.
Right.
Thank you, Deshaun.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Appreciate the call. From Denver, Colorado. Neat call. So, hey, Denver Bible Church, why don't you think about coming out on Easter and visiting? Now, we're going to be packed, I think, Easter. And that happens, right? Our church is right near Hampton and Wadsworth. And, it's going to be packed, but we'll have room for you. We could squeeze you in. We have a great time. We study the Bible Sunday mornings at 9:30, Sunday school for adults and for little kids. The bigger kids stay with the adult Sunday school class. We're a smaller church. Then we have our worship service at 11. And Easter, we're going to be presenting the evidence for the resurrection. Not just that we believe Christ rose from the dead, but why do we believe that? What evidence is there? So if you just want your faith to be reaffirmed, come on out Easter morning. Or if you have an unbeliever, and you want the unbeliever, a friend, family member, to hear the evidence for the resurrection, come on out to Denver Bible Church the Easter morning. Easter morning. We'll have a great time. Oh, and I want to tell you about a video we have, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. I think you'll love it. You can get it online at kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-N-YART. Now, this is Bob N-YART reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.